Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially there's that final verse. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And Jesus continues on. This is the text. It happened a few years back on Ragbri, that bicycle ride across Iowa. Somebody said, they'd found out I was a pastor, they said, so which gospel is your favorite? And then, about 3 weeks ago, in Bible study, after the Bible study, working around the church, and somebody says, I've heard a lot of pastors say that people should start by reading the Gospel of John. Why is that? Do you know this is going to be the same answer, don't you? Okay. Gospel of John is the one where Jesus does what I can only describe as a look you in the eye and tell you what's in your soul. It's quite the amazing thing. And chapter after chapter this happens. People are confronted, they come face to face with him, and they find out, this is a man who knows what's inside, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. Chapter 2, Nathanael experiences that and he says, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. Chapter 3, Nicodemus face to face with Jesus and he goes away somewhat confused. Chapter 4, the woman at the well. And when she's done talking with Jesus, she goes off and says, Come meet a man who told me all that I ever did. Now, objectively, he had not recited through her life day by day or even month by month, but that's her understanding of what has happened. She has met somebody who looked at her and saw what was in her soul and talked about it. And then it goes on, chapter 5, chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000 and all the things that come after that. And so the crowd is dealing with Jesus, and they think they're talking with him about one thing, and he is looking into the souls of every person there, and he is talking right to their souls. So first of all, it's, Rabbi, when did you get here? No, that's not the question we need to talk about. We need to talk about your soul. And his response is, you're seeking me not because you saw the signs. The signs. The signs. For people coming out of the Old Testament background, when you take bread and you break it and then you're feeding 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's an echo of the manna in the wilderness. And who is it that gave manna in the wilderness? Why, it's God. And right there, right in front of their eyes, he's revealing to them, who is this guy? He's God. And they're completely missing it. Goes right over their head. All they notice is, oh, bread. Now Jesus is talking to them on this level. You are human beings, body and soul. Don't ignore the stuff of the soul because you need the stuff of the soul. Don't get distracted by the stuff that goes into your mouths and feeds your body. That comes along and it's there every day. You know, it's bread. Commonplace. But remember, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Pay attention to the stuff of the soul. Because after all, which is the more important? The body or the soul? Remember, you are human beings, body and soul, and created for what purpose? simply to exist and to feed your mouths and your bodies and then after a while to die and that's it? Or human beings created in the image of God, body and soul, so that you may know God, have fellowship with God, walk with God, share in the things of God. Oh, the things of God, where that would be the life of God, the joys of God, the kingdom of God, the eternity that he gives, that fellowship and life. Life means more than existing. And eternal life is not simply an endless being there and existing. Eternal life is to have that fellowship with God, with blessings and joy and celebration and all of the things that God can dream of to make eternity joyful, wondrous, and exciting. That's what he's inviting you into. But the crowd just completely misses it. They didn't see the sign. All they saw was bread. Oh, why, this is a guy who can create bread out of nothing. He can get rid of the Romans and we can have our kingdom back. That's their thought. And Jesus will again and again nudge them and teach them, well, there's a different kingdom to be had. A whole different existence. And that's what he's bringing. But do they see it? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. What are you going to do? They say that after he feeds the 5,000, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. What will you do? Show us a sign. Show us a sign. How did they miss it? Here's the problem, and this becomes the time to preach law. The problem is it's not just them. Goes back into the Old Testament. It's the Israelites. Our lesson was from Exodus 16. You remember what happened in Exodus 15? Well, the people of Israel standing by the Red Sea and they're singing and they're dancing because God opened the waters and set them free and now they're walking with God. And one chapter later, oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, that we were by the pots of food. Oh, that we miss the whip of the taskmaster, we miss being told to make bricks without straw. Oh, they didn't go that far, but oh, that we died in Egypt, where we had our bellies full. We could have died and been happy, but now we're free and walking with God and waiting for him to provide food. Oh, so sad. They completely miss it. And the problem is, it wasn't just them. It goes all the way back. God blesses Adam and Eve and speaks his word to them. And what happens next chapter? Oh, there's somebody with a different word. Let's follow him. What is this with us? And the problem is, that it isn't just the folks in John 6 or Exodus 16 or Genesis 3. It's us. This is our human nature. It infects us, runs through us. God gives us miracles, wonders, blessings all around us and in our lives and right over our heads. And then something happens and, oh, where is God? He must not love me. What did we miss? Is it not us? I'll go first. Yes, it is. That's what I do. I miss all of those signs and wonders and miracles and blessings from God, and something happens and, oh, how can this be? Where is God? Where is He when I need Him? It's us. That's the preaching of the law. You know, with a good Lutheran sermon, you go through the preaching of the law and you get on to the preaching of the gospel. Should we get to the gospel real quick here now? Yeah. So what does Jesus say? Here's the bread of God. He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Oh. You mean it's not we have to change ourselves? You mean it's not what must we do to be doing the works of God? Another thing the crowd said. Okay, what do we have to do? We want the kingdom of God. How do we do it? And you notice Jesus' reply? This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. It's not you. You're not going to make the kingdom of God come. You're not going to make God be God, or make Jesus be the Savior, or make Him be the Savior in your life even, or make His blessings flow from Him by having such wonderful faith. Because you try and do that, are you going to measure up? So it's not us. It is what Jesus does, and He insists on being the giver. He insists on being the one who, although we wander off, He's going to keep coming back and coming back at us with grace and mercy, and looking in the soul and telling us what's in our soul, and then telling us what He's going to do for us. It's a Jesus who insists on being here in this place on this morning and giving His grace and His mercy and His word and His forgiveness, and then who's going to call you to His table, and He's going to give you Himself. You mean it's not me that has to do it? No. You mean it's you? You, Lord? You've got it all? And the only part that's to me is, here's my grace, believe it. Here's forgiveness, it's for you. What an amazing thing. Does that mean that it's what the Sabbath is really all about? Stop working and have God's kingdom and His work and His blessing and His love and His forgiveness and His word and His promise and His grace and His supper and His water just flow right over you and to you and in you and through you? That's what it is. An amazing God who decides that He is going to be the giver and He is going to be the gift. The bread of God is, it's not a thing. The bread of God is, it's not a stuff you put in your mouth. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And that's Jesus. And He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. He is the everything. He is the all. He is the answer for every need. He is the fullness for every emptiness. He is the comfort for every sorrow. He is the strength for every weakness. and simply to have Him. That's all. As simple as that, and as complete as that. And what remains for us to do is, let's put it this way, enjoy having Him as our Savior, as our God, as our Jesus. And that's all. Amen.